brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Drop the mic. Nice. Thank you, worship band. Yeah. And so we are back, Harmony, to the second message out of three in our current Advent sermon series, which is titled The Heart That Grew Three Sizes. It's based on the iconic children's Christmas story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, by Theodore Dr. Seuss Geisel. And during this season, what we're doing is we're looking at this beloved, familiar classic through the lens of faith, as well as to see how Christ speaks to us through culture. So I'm going to give you a quick summary leading up to this morning's message. We previously talked about the Grinch and how he hates the Whos and all their in Whoville and their pending Christmas celebration and he's stewing in brewing hate with a heart two sizes too small. And this is when then he gets a wonderful, awful idea to steal the Whos' Christmas away. So the Grinch flies down the slopes of Mount Crumpet to Whoville to take what he thinks Christmas is about. And he thinks Christmas is about presents and trees and decorations and celebrations. And what does he expect? Well, what he expects is that if he takes Christmas away, as it seems to be, then Christmas is not going to arrive for the Whos. And their memory is going to be forever ruined. So then we tied in the Grinch's distorted vision of Christmas with his wonderful, awful idea, and we turned on our focus to focus on how this gives us the opportunity to examine our own expectations of the true meaning of Christmas and the ways in which we celebrate. So as we begin today's message, When Light Shines, let's pick back up now to Dr. Seuss's story as the Grinch has snuck into Whoville in the middle of Christmas Eve night. And following his devious plan, he enters into one of the Whos' homes and has at it. He's stuffing Christmas stockings and gifts and Christmas whatnot into his sacks, and he's throwing them up into the chimney with ease to land on poor reindeer-dressed Max. We love Max, who's outside waiting. And then, as the story goes, the Grinch grabbed the tree, and he started to shove when he heard a small sound like the coo of a dove. He turned around fast, and he saw a small Who, little Cindy Lou Who was not more than two. The Grinch had been caught by this tiny Who daughter who'd got out of bed for a cup of cold water. She stared at the Grinch and said, "Santa Claus, why? Why are you taking our Christmas tree? Why?" And without so much as a blink, here's where the Grinch smoothly replies to this little one that the lights on one side of the tree, they're not working. And so since they're not working, he's going to have to take the tree up to the workshop. And that's where he'll fix it, and then he'll bring it back. Oh, such a no-good lie. No hesitation. There's no second guessing. And yet, is there some truth in this moment regarding a Christmas tree with lights that don't work? Well, the truth is this. A Christmas tree with broken lights is like a Grinch with a heart two sizes too small. While a tree can still hold, right? It can hold ornaments, and there's a placeholder for gifts. If it's without lights, something's missing, sort of like our bare Grinch tree here. Likewise, with the Grinch and his two sizes too small heart, something is missing, and that something is light. Light. And we need light to see clearly, don't we? So that way our vision isn't distorted. Amen? That said, Cindy Lou Who, she buys into Santa Claus's lie, and the Grinch pats her on the head, and he sends her back to bed with a glass of water. And then without interruption, he goes on to finish his dastardly job to steal away Christmas as he sees it, any hint of it, even morsels too small for a mouse. And like a thief in the middle of the night, the Grinch does the same, house after house after house, sneaking down the chimneys, taking almost everything. Folks, it's not good enough that he just takes the presents. No, not to make his point. He's going to take it all. He wants to go whole hog to spoil the Whos' Christmas cheer. And after doing this, then as the story goes, 3,000 feet up the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode with his load to the tip-top to dump it. "Poo-poo to the Whos," he was grinchishly humming. "They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open for a minute or two. Then the Whos down in Whoville will all cry, boo-hoo." The Grinch stands at the precipice of Mount Crumpet with a sleigh full of the Whos' holiday fare that's ready to disappear into the abyss along with the Whos' hopes of a Merry Christmas. He's convinced. He's got it. He's accomplished what he set out to do, causing harm. And this is then when the Grinch leans in and he cups his ear to hear the Whos' weeping and gnashing of teeth. And friends, this is when something startling happens. For the Grinch's curious listening momentarily stops his awful idea. By being intentionally still, he forgets to nudge the gifts over the mountain's edge. And here's where I wonder, could it be that somewhere, deep down in that small heart of his, the Grinch is unknowingly looking for a reason to not follow through with his plan? Or maybe when the Grinch stops to listen, to be still, is when light has the opportunity to maneuver its way into his heart and shine in its darkness. By doing so, Harmony, and I'm going to paraphrase John 1:5, when that light, and this is the light of Christ, as we know, shines in the darkness can't extinguish that light. Amen? And as an affirming, passionate, Jesus-loving faith community, we know this to be true, that Christ is the light of the world. As Psalm 18:28 tells us, the Lord, my God, lights up my darkness. And friends, Jesus is our eternal and constant guide. As our guide, Jesus communicates the reality and will of God. His light is meant for us to be able to see one another and to see the world more clearly. And with his light, that means our vision is no longer distorted, thereby clearing the way to open up our hearts and our minds for love and to be loved. As Jace shared in last week's Harmony Kids newsletter, he said, it's no surprise that we as people are so drawn to light, especially around Christmas when we celebrate the light of the world, the birth of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to stop here and segue into the question of the day. And so here, this is an opportunity for us to take a few minutes to chat with each other. And folks near you, as you're comfortable in doing so, to discuss what I'm about to ask, which is, as we rejoice in the Advent season, what comes to mind when reflecting on the love and light of God? What comes to mind when reflecting on the love and light of God? So for everyone here, let us pass the peace of Christ with one another, and let us begin discussing the question. All right, so good discussions. I can see this was happening and more is going on. So who would love to come forward to say what your group was chatting about? Yes, come on. Now, you know I don't want to call you out. So Christine, anything? Come on. Yeah. You. The newly engaged, by the way, yes.
I'm actually also getting married on Thursday.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yay. Okay, so our group was talking about how we should have, like, when we're thinking about the love and light of God, we're thinking about how grateful for all the things that we have that God has provided for us, and that we're also remembering those who don't have all the things that we have, but just always remembering with gratitude the unconditional love of God, and sending his son to earth, you know, thinking about Christmas, thinking about Easter, and just that.
Yeah, good. Nice. Yes. Waylon's got the clap going on. He's like, yeah, come on, yeah. So who else? One more. I'm looking. You know, Elizabeth Keener. Yeah, come on, Elizabeth, come on. There you go.
We were talking about the promise of children, and the promise of the Christ child reminds me of seeing the kids. I went to a song event last night with the kids from the high school, and just seeing people singing together, especially young people, and the promise of renewal and new hope and hope for the future.
Nice. Yes, thank you. And so, yes. I love that. In the back, when I was talking to the production team, Jason had brought up the importance of relationship, that the love and light of God brings about relationship with one another. I think that ties in, too, with what Elizabeth was saying. So as we've now reflected and had discussion about the love and light of God, there's a quote by I love this by American Episcopal priest and author Barbara Brown Taylor. And it serves as an excellent reminder for us. And this is what she said. New life starts in the dark, whether it is a seed in the ground, a baby in the womb, or Jesus in the tomb. It starts in the dark. And during Advent, one of our first glimpses of the changing season is Christmas lights. Now, personally, I am a huge fan of Christmas lights, love them. And of course, when it's dark, what happens? That's when the lights come on, yes? Now, living in LA, we are very fortunate to have a number of places to witness the colorful glimmer of Christmas lights. Now, here in Toluca Lake, you don't have to go very far, it's just gorgeous. But other places, you have like the Enchanted Forest of Light at Descanso Gardens, Altadena's Christmas Tree Lane. There's Rodeo Drive. Have you ever been down on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills? It's beautiful. And a few of us from Harmony just a few years ago went down, just a few years back, you may remember, right, Candy Cane Lane in Woodland Hills. Tonight, as we know, we have the holiday train over at Griffith Park. That's a one-mile track, a holiday train. Hopefully, cross fingers. And tomorrow is Dining Out with Harmony that I mentioned in the announcements. Faith community, I want you to think about this because the same holds true for the church as we choose to light candles. We have chosen light to be the way in which we celebrate the coming of Christ. In this morning's scripture passage from Luke 1 that was 26 through 38 that was read earlier by Julia, we learn that new life starts in the dark for Mary. In the dark enters light, and that light is love. Love. And boy, oh boy, does love have a way of turning things upside down. As we're told in this story from the gospel according to Luke, God chooses Mary. God chooses Mary. This is a young girl in a society that values men and values maturity. And she is someone who is lowly. She is someone who is poor. She's not yet married. She's a virgin. And she is then told, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. That's amazing. I mean, truly, that is amazing that God chose to be born into our finitude, to be born into our dependence, to be born into our inadequacy, to put on flesh in the person of Jesus and enter into our vulnerability and enter into our short-sightedness. Friends, truly, it's not only amazing, that is definitely love and good news, as the angel Gabriel shares. And it's good news because our humanity is being redeemed. I was reflecting on this scripture passage, and I thought about Mary. Here she is, and Mary has been thrust into the unknown with few guarantees. And I mean, who here, if you were told this, wouldn't be perplexed? Who here wouldn't be afraid? I would. Finding favor with God. Straight up, finding favor with God does not mean an easy life. Mm-mm. Not when you're answering the call. Finding favor with God doesn't mean that you're going to be all wealthy. You're going to be all prosperous in the way that we think we're going to be. No. The call asks for Mary to offer her whole self and to move into the unknown. That's what the call does. And to answer God, and for us to answer God's call, which goes for not only Mary, it goes for us, folks, that is both scary, but it's also powerful. So I was pondering this even further. And this is a did you know? This is something I learned this week, because I didn't know it, that this particular scripture passage has the very first mention in the New Testament of the Greek word for grace, charis. Yeah, and you may sit there and go, I don't remember hearing grace in the scripture passage, but it's a fact. It occurs during the announcement by the angel Gabriel to this teenage girl, and this is the phrase, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And you're sitting there going, I didn't hear grace. Ah, Mary was chosen not for anything that she had done, but because she had found charis, grace. Or a better way to look at it is that God found Mary with this infinitely precious grace. Because you see, God made the first move. The Holy One draws Mary in with grace, a grace that goes before. Harmony, this found grace is part of the Bible's narrative. We see story after story after story about God always making the first move. I want you to think about that. God makes the first move. We got Mary, Abraham and Sarah. You got the prophets, Isaiah, Samuel, Jeremiah. We've got King David. We've got Esther. I love the story of Esther. You got disciple Peter. You got the apostle Paul. I mean, it's just, the list goes on. And what does God does is God acts in a prevenient way in their lives and in our lives to woo us and lead us to be greater than we can ever imagine, to be who we were created to be, and to fulfill our purpose just like God did in their lives. So you see, I include this word prevenient to describe the grace that goes before for Mary and the Grinch. And you're sitting there going, wow, he just tied Mary in with the Grinch. Well, think about it. Prevenient grace. It's the work of the Spirit that it creates in us our first feeling that, something different just happened. You can't quite put your finger on it. But often, and oftentimes without our knowledge, this is when a light has entered into our lives, thereby enabling us to bear fruit from that grace. Now, I'm emphasizing, though, that it is a grace that comes before our response to God, before our acceptance of grace. There's this image by John Wesley, founder of Methodism. Love this image he shared long ago, and it helps describe prevenient grace. So here's the image. I want you to think about a porch that is on a house, okay? A porch always comes before the house, and you're preparing your entry into the house, right? Well, when you're on the porch, then you have a decision to make. Do we enter into the house? Or don't we enter into the house? Well, guess what? It's the same with grace. It's available to everyone. We either accept it or we don't. We either accept that love or not. And you see, God has taken the initiative to reach out to us with a first move, but the divine creator is also offering to empower us to respond to that love. The question is will we resist it or will we embrace it? Saying yes enables us to exercise faith, a faith that brings change and transformation, deliverance, salvation, redemption, freedom. You see, Mary had a choice. She did. Mary had a choice with God having made the first move, telling her that she had found grace to give birth to the Son of the Most High. And her choice by entering the house from the porch means walking into the unknown once she goes through the door. I mean, what's the plan? Who knows? Well, God does. And yet Mary said yes anyway. And it's like love. We walk into the unknown. It doesn't always work out the way we hope it will. Plan it to. I mean, love, it brings good times, but it doesn't mean there won't be some tough times. Nonetheless, love, and most especially God's love, never tires of making sure that we are absolutely sure that we are valued, we are accepted, and we are affirmed, that we are precious, and we are one of God's own. As 1 Corinthians 13, verses 7 and 8 state, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And Mary asked the angel Gabriel, how can this be? Well, you see, nothing is impossible with God, is it? So I'm going to take us back to the bridge because I feel it's very interesting that Dr. Seuss wrote this delightful How the Grinch Stole Christmas that he purposely, I don't know if you know this or not, but he purposely chose to write this book to not be overly religious. He intentionally chooses this story to be more universal in tone. However, this is what I think. Dr. Seuss, because you see, he came from a strong Christian background. He went to church. I think he took the opportunity to slip into this story, this thing called prevenient grace. There's the Grinch cupping his ear, right? He's waiting, having paused. He's still listening. And in his silent, pensive waiting, this is when God is at work to weave into his heart his two sizes too small heart. You see, new life starts in the dark for the Grinch. And once that light has made its way in and the Grinch becomes aware of it being on his porch, what's his response going to be? Is he going to resist it or not? Will he actually accept love? And if he does, what then? To move into the light takes courage. To move into the light takes a willingness to be vulnerable. To walk into that light, friends, is an intentional choice on our part, which is personal, it is communal, and it is political. And while it's not easy to do, friends, when we boldly walk together as one in Christ, this is when we bear witness to the world, to the promise of greater transformation. So, what's the Grinch's response going to be to this light? Well, I guess we'll find out next Sunday, won't we? I'll close my message with this. Do you believe, do you understand that God is seeking you? God is seeking you. And the Holy One does this because you are deeply loved. Our Heavenly Creator wants us to be in relationship, and God wants to be in the relationship with you and is relentlessly pursuing you because of that love. As Jeremiah 31:3 reminds us, the Lord says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And with that grace that goes before us, may we be still and listen to openly receive God's light and love and this amazing grace and to actively respond to it by saying and doing what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Amen. Amen. Amen.